Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about Transcendental Meditation, TM. And our special guest is a return guest, Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal, MD. He wrote a book called Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation, The Livelihood, Relationships, and Purpose. And it's a really good book that has a deep dive into all aspects of how the brain works and how meditation can be beneficial to it and how TM is used across America and across the world, and some of the background on it and the practices. And I, truth be told, have been practicing for about 3 months now. I'm a long-time meditator, and I found myself getting a little stuck in my progress. At least that's what I felt. And when I had Dr. Norman Rosenthal on the show in the fall, we talked about his book about seasonal affective disorder and light therapy. And I noticed that he had written a book on TM, and I thought, maybe this is something that I should learn more about. And sure enough, Dr. Rosenthal connected me with Bob Roth, who's head of he's the CEO of the David Lynch Foundation, and David Lynch very into TM and manages kind of the process around the country. Hopefully I articulated that properly, but he's kind of a big guy in the TM world. And there's so many celebrities who practice TM, Ringo Starr, Jerry Seinfeld, Howard Stern, Hugh Jackman, Oprah Winfrey, Jennifer Aniston, Paul McCartney, Russell Brand, Jim Carrey, and even J-Lo, and there's a lot more. So there's a lot of folks who are practicing TM. What is it? It's two 20-minute meditations. You do one in the morning and one later in the day, and you learn a mantra, which is kind of a special word with a sound that you keep to yourself. And when you're doing your meditation, you kind of bring up that mantra. It kind of pops in on its own about a minute into your meditation. You kind of use it to do these little dives into getting yourself closer to a state of pure consciousness. We're going to get into all of that with Dr. Rosenthal, but it was a fantastic conversation that we had last fall about seasonal affective disorder, and even a more stimulating conversation we're going to have today here on Guys Guys Radio, because it's going to be truly a conversation, because I'm going to share with Dr. Rosenthal my experience to date with TM. It's been a very positive one for me, and I have some questions about it because it's not exactly like what I expected. And we'll get into all of that with Dr. Rosenthal. But I think if you have ever heard of TM, or you'd like to learn anything about meditation and consider TM as one way of doing so, and you might have heard about the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi who met with the Beatles way back when, and how the Beatles were meditating, and Ringo and Paul McCartney still do, apparently, and what they learned from the Maharishi and what they learned from the practice. And it's not all hoo-ha, way out there stuff either. Meditation is not about going out there. It's about going within. And, you know, I think the whole, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt, a lot of conversation about the Maharishi over the years, and not enough about TM and Transcendental Meditation. And having learned the practice and having practiced the practice, you really don't need to know very much about the Maharishi, but you do need to know about mindfulness and what pure consciousness is, and you have to be open to be willing to go inside and tap into kind of who you really are. And isn't that what it's all about? So Guys Radio, our special guest is Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal, MD. We're going to talk about Transcendental Meditation on the show today.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $38.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and we're welcoming in our YouTube and Rumble viewers to the interview. And today we're going to talk about Transcendental Meditation, a practice I started about 3 months ago. My special guest returning to Guys Radio is Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal, MD, world-renowned psychiatrist, best-selling author. Last time he was on the show, we talked about seasonal affective disorder and his wonderful book about that. And he's the first person who actually described SAD and pioneered the use of light therapy as a treatment during his time at the National Institute of Mental Health. Dr. Norman is a prolific researcher and writer. He's written more than 300 scholarly articles and authored and co-authored 10 popular books, including Poetry RX, the New York Times bestseller Transcendence, and national bestsellers The Gift of Adversity, and what we're going to talk about today, Supermind, all about Transcendental Meditation. So I'm actually thrilled we're having this conversation because I need a check-in. So welcome to Guys Radio, Dr. Norman.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, first, a little background for our audience. When Dr. Norman was on my show in the fall, we talked about seasonal affective disorder. Perfect time of the year for that. We had a great conversation. I was looking at Dr. Norman. I was looking at your background and realized that you had written a book on TM. And as a meditator, I've been meditating for decades, but I had been feeling that my meditations were becoming a little bit stale. They felt like a little bit of work. I've done the Fritz Smith's zero balancing meditation, my own kind of guided, self-taught guided meditations, as well as a kind of a just nothingness, I'll call it, meditation. And I was kind of rotating them, and I felt I needed something new. And what they say is, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher shows up. So Dr. Norman and I had a great conversation on SAD, but then we started talking about Transcendental Meditation. And Dr. Norman, you were kind enough to connect me with Bob Roth, the CEO of the David Lynch Foundation. And he was kind enough to connect me with John Klessler here in Southern California. And immediately that weekend, I took the course, and I have been meditating, or transcending, if you will, for TM for the past 3 months. So first of all, thank you for being on the show, and thank you for connecting me to this wonderful practice. I'm delighted with the results so far, and it's nothing that I expected. in many ways.
Well, of course, you're leaving me very curious, but it's one of those deals where you ask the questions, but I've got lots of questions I'd like to ask you.
Well, let's have a conversation. Let's start maybe for the benefit of our listeners and viewers who may not be that familiar with TM. They might have heard about the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and his work with the Beatles. They might have heard the term TM. They might have heard about a mantra, but they really don't know exactly how that all works together and what TM is, because to me, it's a lot different than what I expected. And I had those little sound bites that I tried to connect the dots, I had an idea, but what it is very different than the idea. So why don't you start with, since you've wrote this wonderful book, Supermind, about TM, explain to us what exactly it is and how it differs from other types of meditation.
Great question. You know, everybody thinks when you meditate, you sit down, maybe you close your eyes, and then you do something with your brain. And that something can be many different things. One very popular and common type of meditation is mindfulness meditation, where you are asked to take your mind and focus it on something. Could be your feelings, your breathing, what goes through your head. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Focus your mind somewhere and keep it steady and focused, and then whatever they claim will happen, so a lot of people do it, and so they're getting something out of it. So that's one common form of meditation, and I had tried it, but I don't have a mind that's very obedient to be focused on anything in particular. You know, it's been a curse and a blessing. A curse because I was the one in class who was looking out of the window at the bird in the tree rather than on the blackboard. I thought it was much more interesting. And so I suffered by losing bits and pieces of information, but I gained because my mind went wherever it wanted, and sometimes it went to good places. So then the other type, that's mindfulness, but the other type, transcendental meditation, is mantra-based. Now, in this particular type of meditation, you're asked to think a mantra. Now, you might say, well, what's the difference between thinking a mantra and focusing on something in your body or on your breathing? Well, the difference is all in how you're taught to do it. And you're taught to effortlessly access the mantra. So it sounds, you know, I could imagine me listening on and not knowing what was going on and saying to myself, well, thinking something and accessing something, that sounds really pretty similar. Isn't he just kind of getting stuck on little picky points that make his brand sound different than the other one's brand? I'm a very skeptical person. But, you know, meditation is one of those things where you can't reason yourself through to whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. You just have to do it. And by doing it, you see, well, what does it do for me? And so back in the 70s, I date myself now, in South Africa, the TM had just come, Beatles had just been to the guru, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who brought this technique from India to the West, and they'd just been there, and it was the cool thing to do to go and get your mantra and to go and learn the technique. And I went to a little house in Johannesburg, and I learned, and there was this very pretty young woman who taught me, and probably sexist young man that I was at the time, I thought, well, she's very pretty and she's very nice. And I liked her telling me this mantra, but I don't know that it really does anything. And of course, I didn't give it a proper chance, but I did get a flavor for it, how it was to think the mantra. And they taught it to me, and they've got a standardized way of teaching it. And then a lot of skeptics say, well, if it's just a short little word sound, what do I need to have to pay X number of dollars and go to a place and go through the rigmarole? It's a scam, or it's a racket. No, it isn't a racket. And I conclude that after many years of seeing plenty of rackets. I worked with pharmaceutical companies. I did research. I did a lot of things. I know rackets when I see them. This is not a racket. It is a very ancient Vedic practice. And it's taught by people who are very dedicated and steeped in helping people to do what is a very hard thing to do. And that's just to simply think a mantra and figure out how to use it in a way that it yields its effects. Okay, so now what are its effects? Its effects are that from listening to the mantra, accessing the mantra, you move into a different state of consciousness called transcendence. It's not sleeping, it's not waking, it's not dreaming. And there again, you know, I'm a scientist, as you know, Robert has said. I have done a lot of research, published in lots of places. And so I'm not just ready to, you know, pick up any fad when I find one. But here I thought, well, you know, what is this fourth state of consciousness beyond waking, sleeping, and dreaming? I've only experienced three states. Well, when I began to use the mantra as instructed, I found myself kind of dipping into this pool of consciousness. I can only call it that, where things kind of came floating in and out of my mind. I was very relaxed. And so I realized that there really is another, and there are probably many states of consciousness. And in fact, this is not a purely Eastern thing. William James, the great so-called father of psychology, actually said, and I quote this at the beginning of my book, Supermind, I quote a famous quote by him, and what he says, if I can locate it, is, our normal waking consciousness is but one special type of consciousness, whilst all about it, parted from it by the filmiest of screens, there lie potential forms of consciousness entirely different. We may go through life without suspecting their existence, but apply the requisite stimulus, and at a touch, they are there in all their completeness, definite types of mentality, which probably somewhere have their field of application and adaptation. No account of the universe in its totality can be final, which leaves these other forms of consciousness quite disregarded. So there he is telling you, telling us, there are other forms of consciousness. And so just to clip this one off so that I don't end up giving you a long rigmarole, I started meditating. I became fascinated in it. I left it for many years. While I came and did my residency and I emigrated and I did so many things. But then because a patient told me, you really need to get back to it, I listened. I got back to it. And so much of my career and my success has followed from just following that instinct and that kind instruction that my patient gave me.
That's an absolutely amazing story. My special guest on Guys, Guys Radio, Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal, MD, the author, psychiatrist, and author of Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation, Livelihood, Relationships, Purpose. So we're going to have a conversation today. So why don't I add kind of what's happened to me since you were kind enough to connect me to Bob Roth. As a meditator, when I showed up at John Klessler's place in Encinitas, we went in a room, and you can tell me these things I can't talk about, but basically I heard him in this private room. He was up at kind of, I don't want to say it's an altar, but kind of a special place in the room. And then I heard the sound and I'm like, I just gravitated to it. It was just like, I just felt it. And then he came over and he told me my mantra. And that was the sound that I had heard. And So I started using it. And all I use for the mantra is I don't like repeat the mantra, 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 mantra when I'm transcending, if you will. I take about 30 seconds and it just kind of comes to me. And I use it to make these like little dives. I mean, what I was taught was that, you know, our conscious mind is kind of the top of the ocean. And Bob Roth goes through all of this, as you do. And, you know, the boat can get rocky, but the stillness of the bottom of the ocean is always the same. And part of the practice is to get to that area of stillness for a brief period of time and get closer and closer to being more transcendent and more into a state of pure consciousness. So what happened with me, Dr. Rosenthal, is that it wasn't anything that I expected. I found for the first at least 2 weeks of doing my two a days, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes later in the day, that what was happening to me, I wasn't thinking of anything. And all of these things from my past came up. Every area and situation in my life that was significant, people, times in my life, they came up and they were, all I can describe it as processed and in a good way and randomly. And each time I didn't know what, each time I meditated and transcended, I didn't know what was going to come up. But something new came up and all these things came up till a point about 3 weeks later that I felt like all these things had been processed, that I'd been carrying around, this baggage that I had, that I was no longer carrying around. Now, subsequently, some of those things pop up every now and then during my 20 minutes and they'll just process again. Is that familiar? Is it me that's having this experience, or do other people have that, or is it everything's completely individualized?
Well, to some extent, things are individualized because our memories, our associations are to some degree unique to us. There are things that we have. Like, let's say I'm in a meditation and then I remember my grandmother's house.
Mm-hmm.
There was an arbor of fig trees there, and the figs used to fall and ferment. And as children, we would run with our bare foot through the fermented figs. Now, you're never going to have that association. It's not part of your experience. And I'm never going to have that association when I'm in my normal workaday world. It would be very unwelcome to start having fantasies of one's grandmother, like Marcel Proust's
mm-hmm.
search for lost time. But you know, what the transcendent state allows you is for your mind to go anywhere it wants, so to speak. And what I find regularly, you know, I'm now assiduously doing meditation twice a day because I need the creativity that comes from the meditation. Ideas kind of come out of the state of transcendence, this fourth state of consciousness, as it's called. Ideas come out and it gives me ways to go forward. And it's a very enlivening and creative part of my mind that I wouldn't have access to otherwise.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense, because what has happened is as these things clearing for me, it was almost as if I was remote viewing, like you mentioned your grandmother, whatever. It was like I was in the house I grew up in when I was 3 years old, and I could see the couch and the room, and there's my mother and my aunt and whatever. And it was real. It was just as real as you and I speaking right now. And those things got processed through. And I felt like, because a lot of that stuff moved aside, not in a bad way, it wasn't like tossing out the trash, it was like processing, that I felt a lot clearer minded and more creative in that. Well, I'll give you an example. I've been working on a book proposal and I've been stuck because I don't like writing book proposals. I like writing. I like to write the book, but I don't like writing the proposal. And I was just stuck. And since I've been meditating, the proposal's kind of broken out into different pieces and come back together, and it's all gotten completely organized, and I keep adding to it, and I'm getting insights that are enhancing it in incredible ways. And I've even trying out some of the concepts, talking to people, not letting them know what I'm doing, but, and I'm finding like, wow, I'm getting wow moments that that are coming through, and I can connect that to the practice of transcending.
Well, I must say I'm delighted for you, but I'm not surprised, because I've experienced that myself. I've heard it from my clients. I've heard it from people whom I've interviewed. And it's one of the wonderful features of this technique. It's a great creative tool. Of course, it does much more than help you create. It also shapes one's life. And in fact, after I'd written Transcendence, after I had been meditating for some years, I began to realize a little bit of what you're saying, that it starts to shape. Look how you're talking about how it shapes your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a very important thing to you, your book proposal, that you can't just muscle your way in and take chunks and move them around like blocks of concrete.
Right.
In structure. It's a very much more subtle process of reorganization, and where things, this thing should go here and that thing really belongs there. And you know, how did you do it? You didn't go and kind of lift it up and put it somewhere else, through some kind of a mysterious organic process in which the brain works. It figured out these things for you while you were meditating. So what occurred to me is that after you've been meditating for a while, meditation actually shapes the workings of your mind. It's more than just giving you this nice twice a day relaxing dip, bathe into the transcendence. It actually begins to change you in various ways. And in fact, what the wise people have learned who have studied this for a long time is that that state of consciousness, the sort of oceanic state of consciousness that we're talking about, you and I, and when I'm talking like I am now to somebody who also does it, I slip into that state. That oceanic state of consciousness begins to move into your mind in various ways, and it begins to influence how you function in your daily life. It shapes your mind, and it has been called cosmic consciousness. That's the official description. It's the fifth state of consciousness beyond transcendence, and it begins to shape your mind. And as a psychiatrist, I thought, well, that is so interesting. How does it shape your mind? What should I call the book? How do I understand it? And I thought, well, it's the supermind. It's you know, it just takes the mind to another level. And then with some colleagues, Fred Travis and another gentleman, we developed a questionnaire. And we administered it to over 500 seasoned meditators to see how long does it take for people to develop these changes and what are the changes. And then I subjected the survey findings to statistical analysis, and I found that you can break it into three factors. There is what we call the supportive nature. And there is transcendence, and there's one other. It's been a long time since I looked at the results. But we should talk about all of the different elements that come out of the supermind, because it's quite remarkable. And then what I did is I found individuals, sometimes people who scored or who achieved at very, very high levels, who had found that TM helped them in their various endeavors. So that's what I call the supermind. It's beyond the transcendence. It's the fifth state, known as cosmic consciousness.
Do most folks who get involved in TM come from, like myself, I was meditating for years, but I felt that I could get a lot more out of it, versus people who have not meditated and they jump right straight through into TM. Is there?
It varies.
And when you tested, do you split those two variables?
You know, it's a really good question. I didn't ask that particular thing. Mostly, I assumed, maybe incorrectly, that most of them had come from a TM background. However, what I have heard many times is the more I do TM, the more mindful I become. Because without going directly for it, you begin to feel the texture of things, the smell of things, the flavor of things. It's as though everything becomes more vivid and everything becomes more exciting, I would say, or soothing. Depends what sort of thing. If you hear music, you may enjoy it more. If you go for a walk, you may notice more. Or you may notice the same things, but in a different way. You know, one time you might say, look, there's a robin over there on the lawn. Or you might say, look, the robin's head is cocked in a certain way. I wonder if it's just eaten something. So it can expand your observations in different ways.
I think that's very true. For myself, coming from a background of having meditated, maybe not meditating in the best way possible, but it was working for me. This has supercharged my meditations in a very short period of time. And now what I find is, and maybe it's just part of the ascension moving towards like the fourth dimension, if you will, I find myself witnessing more than reacting. I find myself listening more. I see through things. I have a pretty good, being a New Yorker, I have a pretty good BS detector. But I find with through the TM practice, I'm knowing things faster and innately, if you will. And not in a way like superior, oh, I know that. But I just know it inside. It's like very quickly I pick up on things, on people, on situations. And again, I go back to this proposal I'm working on. What the TM, I think, helped me with was find out everything added up. Everything made sense. It was boring. I had to get into the essence of what I'm really trying to say. Why would I write a book about something if I wasn't really passionate about a core belief and how to emotionally connect with the reader with that? And that's what my transcending has helped me do. Mm-hmm. To be clear enough, and I don't have a better word right now, forgive me, to be able to access that creativity to find the emotional connection that I needed with the work.
Well, it's really... You're talking a language I can relate to very much, because as writers, we look for clarity. And clarity often means taking away the things that are extraneous,
right,
and seeing what's left when you remove the fluff and something clear emerges. And that's very exciting.
It's been great. So talk to us about, and for particularly for our listeners and viewers who are not as familiar with TM as you are, and me, as I'm still a neophyte, but I'm getting a lot out of it in a quick period of time. The metaphor of like we're on top of the ocean and we kind of in that 20-minute period dip into the quiet level below, and how we use the mantra as kind of a way of taking a little dives. Because I don't find myself repeating the mantra over and over again. It comes and I use it, and then sometimes it goes away and then it comes back. And when the 20 minutes are up, and by the way, TM, the foundation, has a great app. I use the app every day, and it lets you know gently when the 20 minutes is up, and then it allows you the time to kind of come out of it for about 3 minutes, so you just don't jump into your day-to-day life again. But it's important that we let go of the mantra. I never think about it during the day. I've never repeated it to anybody. I've never written it down. It is what it is. Of course, at the beginning, I was like, well, how did they come up with that? Is there a series of 10 of these? And then I'm at the point, I don't care. All I know is I have something that I draw on during my transcending time, and that's it. I use it, and then it goes off wherever it goes.
Well, you know, I'm just sort of sitting here as you're talking. And, you know, a lot of my clients have now meditated. And when we talk about meditation, as we're doing now, I can feel myself sort of slipping into the meditative state because it's so charming in the words of Maharishi. He says, very charming. He used to say, you know, if you're in a room with music, but in the next room, there's music that's more charming, you're going to move to that room. And the mantra puts you in a state that's just more enjoyable, more productive. And that's the transcendence. And yeah, I think it's in a way, it's very simple, but it's also very profound. And there's many things written. And as you talk, the writings come to mind. You know, there's a very famous verse from one of the Vedic texts, the Upanishads, that says there's a mind within the mind, the mind beyond the mind. It is the supreme knowledge, or it's the supreme wisdom, and dwell there. You know, the idea that there's a mind within the mind, it's very much like William James saying, you know, touch a certain stimulus and you're into a different state of consciousness.
Okay. Guys, Guys Radio, my special guest is Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal, MD. We're talking about supermind. We're talking about transcendental meditation. I think an obvious question that people may ask after practicing for a brief period of time is sometimes they feel, and I went to actually, they had kind of a workshop seminar lecture at the foundation location in Encinitas, California. And it was about maybe you've been transcending for a while and you feel like sometimes you're just sitting there for 20 minutes. What's going on? Things come up, little bits of your day-to-day life, and am I really meditating? Talk to us about that, because I think that's really important, because sometimes it can feel like, well, I'm not really meditating right now. I'm just thinking of stuff. But I've also found that when I do that, I get to a point where all that stuff goes away. Like some of the day-to-day stuff come up, I think about them, and then they dissolve. And then I'm in that kind of transcendent state.
I think this is really where the TM teacher is so valuable, because, okay, you think about that on one occasion, but if you think about it repeatedly and you find you're not really getting a lot out of your TM, sometimes talking with a TM teacher who's been around can make such a difference. You know, I'll give you my own example. I had done TM, as I said, when I was a really young man, and I came back to it 35 years later, and now I'd been given my mantra. It was really the same mantra as I had before. I remembered the mantra. And I just didn't feel I was getting into the transcendence. And I remember sitting, I remember exactly where I was, friend's 60th birthday. I was sitting there next to a TM teacher. And I was telling her, look, you know, I don't think it's happening. I don't think I'm getting it. And she started asking me questions. And one of the questions was, is your mantra changing in its quality as you think it? And I said, yeah, it is. And she said, you know, you may be transcending more than you think you are. Just keep going. That was all I needed, that it was probably happening, but I was being impatient as to what I thought I should be changing or thinking or doing. And when I just relaxed and I went back to it, and of course, subsequently have had it refreshed by different teachers, it is an easy thing to do. It is an easy thing to do. But it's also, you have to do it as directed, because it's specific. And when I hear that you got the kind of results so far that you got, even though you'd meditated in a different way for a long time before, it reaffirms that this is really a different technique. It's a potent technique, and it's one that I'm happy you have to recommit to it periodically, because stuff comes up in your life and it knocks things out the way. All kinds of good habits can suffer. But my advice to people who find that that's happening is, as soon as possible, get back on the horse again. Get back into the practice, because it really makes life better.
Last question for you, and I think this is important, because for those out there wondering, what are the actual, and you're a doctor, so it's all about the science and the research and quantifying this. There have been studies on the benefits, the quantifiable measured benefits of TM in terms of lifespan and health. Talk to us quickly about those.
The strongest data are in the cardiovascular area. There's evidence that it lowers blood pressure, not only statistically significantly, but clinically significantly as well. It lowers blood pressure, and as we know, whatever lowers blood pressure is going to give your heart a better run for its money. And so that's a big deal. But I've seen it help so many people. I've seen it help people with PTSD. I've seen it help people with migraine headaches and all kinds of things. So a burnout, work-related burnout. You know, the body and the mind, they're so intertwined. You can't really separate them that easily. So I think it's a hugely beneficial practice. Yes, 20 minutes twice a day is not trivial in our busy lives. But for those who do it regularly, they find it's a price well worth paying.
Fantastic. Dr. Rosenthal, thank you so much for everything you've contributed to, not only to the show, what you've shared with me personally, Mike, the connection you've made with me to get involved with TM. I love it. And I'm going to continue to do it. So Supermind is the name of this book. We'll have you on to talk about some of your other books again, but tell everybody out there where they can find out more about you, more about TM, and where they can get the book.
Yeah, I have a webpage at normanrosenthal.com. I have a Wikipedia page. And, you know, there are many YouTube videos and other videos and remarks about me. I've written 11 popular books. The one before this was on seasonal affective disorder. It's called Defeating Sad. And the one before that is called Poetry RX, Poetry as Therapy. And some of those poems are seriously affected by my TM experience, because that really has shaped, you know, who I am. And I love that book. And I love to see people enjoying it and coming back to me and saying it gave me a lot. So check me out. If you want a memoir, I wrote one called The Gift of Adversity. It'll tell a little bit more about me. So I'm out there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Rosenthal. And anytime you want to come back to the show, you're more than welcome. And thank you for helping me out, because you really have. And like what I do with all of my guests, I bring people in there who add value to the show, to the audience. And not everybody's going to vibe with everything, but I've interviewed over 700 thought leaders like yourself. And I got to tell you, I've gotten such a great education, and you've been one of the most generous contributors. So thank you.
Thank you. Great to be with you again.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It's Guy's Guy Radio.
What a fascinating conversation, and truly a conversation, not really an interview, with Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal, MD. about transcendental meditation and his wonderful book on it called Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation. What I love about speaking with Dr. Rosenthal, he's an advocate, of course, for TM. He's been practicing and teaching for years, but he's not selling. And that's so refreshing because the practice stands on its own merit. You either get into it and can relate to it, or you don't. And if you're going to, as we discussed, if you're going to practice TM, you need to learn through transcendental meditation, the kind of the company, if you will, and there is an investment there. It's not a lot, but I guess a lot is a relative term. And then you need to practice. And really, it's twice a day, once early in the morning, and the second time late in the afternoon. You have to do what you can to find out 20 minutes very early. I get up earlier so I can do my meditation before I reach for my phone, before I start hitting emails, etc. I want to do my meditation. And then I do another 20 late in the day. And if I have to do something, I push it back, but I make sure I get that second meditation in prior to going to bed at night. And it really helps. And from what Dr. Rosenthal stated and what others have stated is, if you're going to do it, do it. And the protocol is twice a day. There's a reason for that. And if you do once a day, you're not going to get the same benefits from it. And over time, I have found that there is a magic to doing it twice a day. You really get into a closer state of inward peace and inner peace, and also tapping into it. It seems to be easier to get deeper into the meditation, easier to tap into that pure consciousness, easier to transcend, if you will. So doing it twice a day is important. And the other thing is not loading up the meditation with other things. Don't do a couple of times I tried to add other meditations into my TM practice. It didn't work as well. And it's really just about being still. And sometimes you think, am I meditating? Or am I just sitting here thinking? That's okay. Mantra will worm its way into your consciousness, and it'll help you with that, and then it'll kind of slide away. But you really are taking dips into the deep waters of consciousness, and if some thoughts come up closer to the surface along the way, they get processed, and then you dip down again. It's a fantastic practice. It's really helped me in my meditation protocols. From, you know, I've been meditating for years, but now the meditations are so much better, and I can say that's part and parcel to my practicing TM for about 3 months. So, does it work for me? Yes. Will it work for you? I don't know. But if you're interested in it, there's a lot of information online. Just Google Transcendental Meditation. You could check out Bob Roth also. There's a lot of YouTube videos. You can check out Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal, his book, Supermind. And there's ample information about it, so when you get into it, I think you'll feel comfortable that there's enough support and enough information there to help you in your journey to transcendence, if you will. So Guys Guys Radio, we're here every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific Time on KCAA Radio in Southern California, 106.5 FM, 1050 AM, the podcast, YouTube, and Rumble post worldwide Thursdays. We're also on KCAA Radio, a replay of the show every Saturday night at 8 p.m., Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. We're on UK Health Radio all weekend long. It's the world's largest talk health station in the world. It's digital, so you can just go to the website and you can listen to my shows four times every weekend or on demand. So you just type in the show, my name, and it'll reveal all the shows, and you can pick the one you want to listen to. We're on YouTube and Rumble also, so if you want to watch the interviews with our guests, like Dr. Rosenthal, you can watch on YouTube. And if you enjoy the guests and content I bring you each and every week to Guys Guys Radio and Guys Guys TV, please support us by subscribing to our platforms and channels. It doesn't cost you anything. It makes a big difference. Really appreciate that, because our job here is to bring you the best information to add value to help you live your best life and help you make the choices that help you live your best life. That's what we're all about here on Guys Guys Radio. If you want to learn more about me and the work we're doing here for men and for women to live their best lives, check out my website, robertmanni.com. I've got over 300 blog posts about life, love, the pursuit of happiness. You can also download 3 free chapters of my novel from the website. The Guy's Guide to Love. It's a fast-moving, sexy romp through the high-stake world of Madison Avenue. It's been called the man's successor to Sex and the City by iconic author Dan Wakefield. It's fast, it's frothy, it's fun, and it's about something. So I think you could have a lot of fun with my book. And again, you get the three free chapters on the website. Also, I write a column for UK Health Radio. It has a digital magazine. It's called Health Triangle Magazine. I write a series. It's called Aging is a Choice, and it's all about exploring and really exploding that narrative that we've been fed about what aging is all about. And then I get into a lot of practices and ways we can free ourselves and free our thinking to be able to enjoy ourselves as we're aging and really do more than ever, if you will, because there's a lot of freedom in aging. Trust me on that. And when you read the series, you'll understand why. So I'm here for you each and every week. I want to thank my over 700 guests I've interviewed over the years. I want to thank my wonderful producer, Chris. I want to thank my strategy lead, Ryan. And most of all, I want to thank you, my wonderful audience, as we continue to grow here on Guys Guys Radio. I'm going to be back next week with another great guest. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.